Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Charleston, Massachusetts, and started a bakery in 1977 when he purchased a station wagon for $400 and started delivering bread on the way home from a full-time job. A trip to Medjugorje in 2010 transformed his life. The author of From the Hub to the Heart. His name? Andy Lavallee. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a most an amazing entrepreneur, Andy Lavallee. Andy, welcome. A real honor to have you.
I'm so grateful, Jack. It's great to be with you this afternoon, and I'm really honored to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. Grew up in a neighborhood of 1 square mile in Charlestown, Massachusetts. It's a neighborhood of Boston. You know, Boston is separated into a lot of different ethnic neighborhoods. You know, the Irish in one neighborhood, the Italians in another neighborhood. And it was home for me. It was beautiful. My parents gave me a great gift of faith, And then things started to change as I started to branch out as a teenager and kind of get into trouble on my own. And that's where I kind of fell away from everything, all the virtues and the values that my parents taught me.
Speaking of which, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
The biggest thing I learned from my father was he gave me the gift of faith. I mean, throughout times of toughness and times, he was a Korean War veteran, and he always carried the rosary. He always gave me the gift of faith. Really, from my mom, it was more of a devotion to the Blessed Mother than anything else. My mom protected me against a lot of very evil things within the neighborhood by not telling my father certain things, and I know she was always praying to the Blessed Mother.
Where did you get your love for baking?
You know, it was just a need, Jack. It was like I was growing up, and I wanted to prove to everybody that I could do something and be an entrepreneur and be successful. And my wife and I had just gotten married, and we had a child on the way, and I just started to fill that need. And then the more I learned about the product, and the more I learned about the production and how things worked in the industry, it became my passion.
In 1977, you started Lavallee Bakery. You were the CEO then and now. How did that come about?
Well, it was kind of like I got a phone call from my wife, Barbara, saying that I'm pregnant and I want to be in charge of my own destination as an entrepreneur. And I said, look, honey, let's just start this company and I can work two jobs at the same time. So I was learning the trade from Al Quinzani at Quinzani Bakery in Boston and working there full-time. And then when it was all said and done, when the day was over, I was out, selling and delivering products. And what happened was, one customer turned to 2, to 20, to 30, to 50, and we just kept growing. And it was time to, go out on my own. And it was at those days, I was just kind of like a jobber, not really anything other than creating a job for myself.
How do you explain, Andy, the fascination, the love affair that we humans have with bread?
Well, bread's always been a staple. I mean, when you look back, centuries and centuries and centuries, and I'll tell you a funny story. I was recently given a business talk at Northeastern University, and we had all kinds of great breads there. We had some great focaccias. We had some great ciabattas and some great pretzel rolls and different things. And at the end of my talk, a young man stood up, and he said, Mr. Lavallee, he said, tell me, we've had so many great breads here this afternoon. He said, tell me, what's your favorite overall bread? And I couldn't. It was a layup for me, Jack, because my favorite overall bread is the Holy Eucharist. And even though being in the bread industry, the Holy Eucharist is the bread of life. And that's none of these other breads that I sell are going to get me to eternity, but the Holy Eucharist will get us to eternity.
And what did those young college students say about how they react to that?
Yeah, there was a few heads turned, but it was, you know, it was just the truth, and you never go wrong when you're speaking and telling the truth.
What's the key to making great bread, loaf after loaf after loaf?
It's really the ingredients. It's making sure that you know that it's clean label, no preservatives, no additives, no conditioners, and then fermentate it as long as possible as you can. And then, just like in the old days, like back in you know, years and years and years ago, bake it on a stone. Bake it so that you can have this fresh, crisp crust on the outside and a very moist inside.
Our listeners can hear the Boston accent. On January 25th of this year, Boston had no snow. Less than a month later, they've had 70 inches. How do you describe this three weeks?
You know, it's difficult. It's part of growing up in the city. It's part of what we have. It's the Northeast. But you know, Jack, it's, you know, as you get older, you get a little tired of it, but you just sacrifice and just give it up to God and just, you know, have patience, continue to go to daily mass, continue to do the things that you do if it was the middle of July. And just, I think God is grateful for our efforts and our perseverance through tough times like this.
We're talking to Andy Lavallee. When we come back, we'll ask him about, by his own admission, the fact that he was a huge skeptic of faith and or religion. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. We're with Andy Lavallee, CEO of Lavallee Bakery. Andy, your business was good. Your family were great. Your golf game was decent. The Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, they were winning. Life was good. What was missing?
You know, at the time, Jack, I was a man of the hub. And, you know, the hub of Boston, you know, pretty much had the bakery business. And like you said, and, you know, been involved in most of the teams, played golf pretty regularly. But my priorities were really, as I look back at that those times, my priorities were really mixed up. You know, God was probably in fourth or fifth place in my life, and I really didn't know what was missing at the time, because being asked to go to a Catholic men's conference by a few friends and being for the first time ever going there, and then having the keynote speaker being Jim Caviezel of the Passion of Christ, and Jim really talking about when he was 12 years old and learning how the 1980 Olympic hockey team taught him to believe in miracles and believe in Our Lady, and I'm saying, wow, that's pretty amazing. And he just mentioned that he'd like to meet some of those guys, and one of my best friends in life is Jack O'Callaghan, who's a member of that team. And I said, well, you know, I handed off my business card, and 10 minutes after Jim's talk, I was sitting in a cubicle at Boston College with Cardinal Sean O'Malley, myself, Jim Caviezel, and my son Jeffrey. And Jim invited me on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and that totally changed my whole entire life.
Medjugorje. Some people think that that's a form of very rare date. Tell us about Medjugorje.
Well, for me, I was kind of embarrassed when I got invited by Jim. And, you know, here I was this, you know, this guy from the city, and he was this big movie star. And I really didn't know what was going on there. I didn't really understand the reported apparitions of the Blessed Mother appearing there. And little did I know that I was being called to go because, you know, you talked earlier in the show about my mom and her devotion to the Blessed Mother. I can remember, as an eighth grader, her saying to me, you know, on the way to school when I was getting in trouble and all that, saying, Andrew, just pray to Our Lady for me, please, to her statue, which was right on the way to school each day. And I would say, yeah, sure, Ma, whatever, you know, and just kind of brush it off. But I would always pray. And I found myself 30 years later, 35 years later, with my cell phone ringing and being parked in front of that statue to try to get a better, clearer signal. And it was Jim Caviezel inviting me to Medjugorje. So when I arrived there, you know, I was kind of this skeptic, you know, saying, yeah, sure, this can't be happening or that can't be happening. And little did I know that as I had gone to Holy Mass for the first time in a while, that I had listened to this priest give his testimonial about what had happened to him and how his life was very similar to mine in a lot of ways, you know, through drinking and drugs and alcohol and really just in lying and then all of a sudden, he was asking me about a life confession that I had just contemplated on the plane on the way over. And off I went, and my life totally changed.
The Blessed Virgin started appearing June 24th, 1981. Who did she appear to, and what has she said?
Well, she's appeared to six visionaries, Jack, and basically she's telling us to live five very important stones, five very important things that can bring us all back to her son. First, the Holy Eucharist. Second, pray the rosary. Go to confession. Read scripture. And she's asking us to pray and to fast together as a team. Prayer is very, very, very powerful. But prayer and fasting, I learned real quickly throughout my conversion, that fasting is like the accelerator. It's the absolute positive overnight to Jesus. When you fast and pray together, you will find some drastic changes in your life.
Andy, when you went to Medjugorje, which is in Bosnia in the middle of nowhere, some people that go, they see miracles happen. They see stars and the sun. Did you see anything like that?
My first day there, I saw the cross at Cross Mountain turning different colors, and that was something that was a little bit of a wake-up call to me. But the real miracle for me was going from a man of sin, sin had a deep hold on me, making this pilgrimage across the world with a gentleman I didn't even know who was a movie star who just played Jesus Christ in The Passion of Christ. And then all of a sudden returning and living the five stones immediately, going to Mass daily, haven't missed Mass since June of 2010, going to confession, using confession really as a tool to help me get cleaner and to be more devout as a person. Living all of the five stones and reading scripture and praying the rosary daily. And that was the real miracle for me. The real miracle for me was that Our Lady had really attacked me in an area where she knew that I could be vulnerable and I could come back to her son. Attacked is probably the wrong word, but she loved me so much that she took me back to her son through this confession. And I'll be forever grateful for what she's done for me, because it's totally changed my whole perspective on everything in life.
You say pray the rosary daily. What is the rosary, Andy?
The rosary is basically living the life of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. I mean, there's five different versions of the rosary. Four. You start with the joyful mysteries, and you go on to the sorrowful mysteries, and then to the luminous mysteries, and then to the glorious mysteries and the resurrection. But each one has a decade of 10 prayers. It's the prayer of Our Lady's favorite prayer, the Hail Mary, and you start with the Our Father. And it's only 20 minutes of dedication each day. But to give you an idea, what today would be, on a Sunday, we're talking about it's the glorious mysteries. So we would talk about the resurrection of our Lord as the first glorious mystery. And we would say, today I'd like to pray for all my friends that are holy priests. I'd pray for vocations or whatever it may be. And I would pray that decade, that rosary, that those 10 Hail Marys and that one Our Father for that dedication, and move on to the second, which is the ascension of Jesus to heaven. So it's continuously praying, it's Our Lady's favorite prayer, and she's asking us to pray it. And it is so powerful that it can stop wars. It's amazing what the rosary can do when we actually do dedicate ourselves to prayer.
I quote you now, "Today I pray the rosary, not say the rosary." What's the difference?
That's a great point, Jack. I thought when I was praying the rosary before when I was saying the rosary before that I was actually praying it, but I wasn't. I mean, praying the rosary is really visualizing, almost as if you're walking down that fairway and you can visualize the clean cut, crisp grass. It's visualizing yourself in a mystery like the third glorious mystery is the coming of the Holy Spirit. To me, there's times when I pray that I can visualize the Blessed Mother herself taking me by her hand and saying, "Come with me, my son, to the upper room where you can see the Holy Spirit, where you can be blessed by the Holy Spirit." And truly look at, different decades as you talk about and pray and pray and pray from the heart. Do it from your heart and truly look at you being part of the scene with the apostles at the crucifixion, at the resurrection, at Pentecost, and at all these events, the birth of Jesus. That's when you pray it from your heart. That's when you really pray it and you don't say it.
The first five words of the Hail Mary is Holy Mary, Mother of God. Talk to us about Mary, the Mother of God.
The Mother of God is probably, in my humble opinion, the most persistent, the most loving, the most caring person that we have here on earth. And I tell you that she is here with us on earth because she is. She is here with us each day, and we are her children. And she is asking us to come back to her son. And she's asking us through different means that we've talked earlier about the five stones. But for me, personally, I look at Our Lady and I say, I could never be where I am today without her intercession. And each one of us, that we have our own struggles in the world, whether it be in family, whether it be in business, whether it be in your personal life, I promise you, if you pray to Our Lady and you ask her to intervene, she will come running. She will come running to you and help you in any way she possibly can. That's just the greatest thing about having Our Lady with you, is knowing that she's an advocate with you day in and day out, and she will bring you directly to her son. That's what she does on a daily basis. She brings you directly to Jesus himself.
We're talking to Andy Lavallee, and Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion, told him in June 2010, go to Medjugorje. It's changed his life and the lives of many, many others. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Andy Lavallee, who's just written a book, From the Hub to the Heart. If you want to learn more, www.livethefast.org. Livethefast.org. Andy, to the best of my knowledge, the Jewish carpenter has never come back to earth since he ascended 2,000 years ago, yet his mother has appeared many times through the centuries. Why?
Well, she's the advocate. You know, she brought us her son through his birth here on earth, and she will bring us her son again. And she's the advocate right now. And she's appearing to get our attention, for us to change our lives, to get away from our consumerism, especially here in the United States, to put more emphasis on the sacrifices that Jesus made for us and the teachings he gave us through Holy Scripture. You know, she is persistent. She's been doing it for years. She did it at Lourdes. You know, she did it at Fatima. She's reportedly doing it at Medjugorje. I believe that she is. She changed my life in Medjugorje. She's appearing, and she just loves her children so much that she wants us to just come back to her son through the tools that she's providing us. And she's a mother, and why not listen to our mother? This is a time right now where the world desperately, desperately needs this. We need to listen to her.
When one of your old buddies growing up in Charleston, Massachusetts, that hung with you in your teen years, listens to you now, he's got to say, is this the same Andy Lavallee that I knew? What's happened to you?
Jack, I can just say that I'm probably the same person, made and born in the image and likeness of Christ. But through my own personal desires, I fell away. And, you know, I was that teenage boy that was in the neighborhood that, just like everybody else, did all the things that everybody else did. But now, I think they'll look at and they'll understand when they really see the true story and the true humility in my heart and my eyes, that God has changed me. I didn't change myself. God did this. You know, He asked me to do certain things, and He can do so much with a simple little yes. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, growing up in that neighborhood, we learned real quickly to protect yourself through your mouth. I had a trash mouth that I could swear 1,500 to 2,000 times a day. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you that. I mean, it was awful. But when I started the fast, when I started to follow Our Lady's messages, and all these vices were stripped away. There wasn't like I was putting in a tremendous effort to stop doing these vices, but it was Jesus himself and Our Lady saying that you're going to be on our team and you're not going to have these vices. We're going to take them away. And they took them away. So I think they'll look back and say, he's working his way towards eternity, because that's really what I'm trying to do right now.
Another thing you've been doing for the last 4.5 years is fasting 1 to 2 days a week. What does fasting mean?
Well, look, in our church, Jack, there's a big misunderstanding on fasting. You know, we use the word abstinence when we talk about fasting, and it's not the same. Fasting is totally giving up of all food and just, you know, relying on bread and water and maybe the Holy Eucharist for a period of time to cleanse yourself through bread and water. Bread being the Holy Eucharist and some breads that you could just nourish yourself with, and water to cleanse yourself. Abstinence is, you know, more of like, what am I giving up for Lent? You know what I'm saying? We're in Lenten season. You know, what are we going to give up? But it takes more of a sacrifice. Fasting is a sacrifice. Fasting is needed today, and it's a prescription that Our Lady has given us to strip away things of the world. One of the great things, if you read it all to your listeners and they read the Holy Father's newest apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, he identifies the number one danger in the world today is consumerism. That's the number one danger. He said, when people are involved in this, that they can no longer have room for the poor, no longer have room for their own families and themselves, and no longer room for God. And he's absolutely right. So this is what fasting does. It fights that danger. And fasting is very, very important for us this time and where we are right now in the world today.
You mentioned in the previous segment 5 stones that Our Lady gave at Medjugorje. Can you repeat them again for us?
Number one, she asked us to go to confession. I think she wants us to cleanse ourselves and go to confession and just tell Jesus of our sins and be truly repentful. Number two, she's asking us to receive the Holy Eucharist, receive the bread of life in her Son, come to her Son. She's asking us to pray the rosary, to come and just be with her and just celebrate the mysteries, each and every mystery through her and with her Son, and pray the rosary. She's asking us then to read Scripture, because, look, there's so many lessons in Scripture that we can use. I use it in my business, in my own life. She's asking us to read Scripture and meditate in those times, and nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Scriptural lessons and parables from Scripture can be used today. And then the fifth stone that she's asking us to do, she's asking us to strip ourselves of things of the world and to fast, and combine it with the other four. Combine it with fasting with Scripture, fasting with confession, fasting with rosary, fasting with the Holy Eucharist. When you do that, you have incredible, incredible elevation in your spiritual life.
All right. Chapter 4 of your book that just came out, From the Hub to the Heart, is entitled Fasting Makes the Impossible Possible. Andy, you've made a lot of brash statements here. This one might be the craziest.
Well, Jack, it's really not that crazy, because when you look at Scripture and you look at when Jesus is, you know, when you take the 12 disciples, these are men that actually saw Jesus in person. They worked with Jesus. They were given the opportunity to go to the school of learning through the greatest teacher in the world, Jesus himself. And then when the time came for them to cast out the demon in this little boy, in this young boy off to the side, they were unsuccessful, and they couldn't do it. And they went back to Jesus, the teacher, and they said, Lord, Lord, what is going on here? How come we can't do this? You just taught us how to do this. And that's when he came to them and he said, this kind can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. So it does make the impossible possible. And it's very much needed today. And I'll even go further by saying, bridge the gap between that little parable and that scene in the Scripture to right now, today, to our newest saint, Pope John Paul, that said, prayer and fasting are the first and most effective weapons against the forces of evil. So when you look at this, these two ends of the bridge, one bridge is St. Pope John Paul. The other bridge is Jesus himself. They've both fasted. They both are talking about evil and casting out evil. And they're both giving us an example of how it can work. But yet we reject those teachings. We need to embrace those teachings to rid the world of the evil today, to rid the world of terrorism, to rid the world of abortion, to rid the world of the attack on family, to rid the world of the attack on our religious freedoms. And I can keep going and going and going, but you know what I'm talking about. There is a solution, and fasting is the solution to make the impossible possible.
Andy, we've just started Lent. What advice do you give us, the listeners, tonight to do these next 40 days?
Well, the first thing is, there is no Lent without fasting. You know, when we talk about Lent, we talk about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So what does that really mean? So you can deepen your prayer through fasting, and you can fast and give to those that are in need. It's a Trinitarian thing. It's a combination of the three together. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving come together in this in these 40 days. And Jesus showed us how he defeated Satan in the desert before he started his own ministry by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. These are the 40 days and 40 nights he's asking us to prepare for his resurrection. So I can just say, I say to myself sometimes pretty boldly to the guys that I work with, the guys I'm with in business, and I say, have you ever seen the scene of the scourging of Jesus and the Passion of Christ? Have you ever seen that scene? And so I ask you, what are you giving up for Lent? And some guys say, well, I'm giving up chocolate, I'm giving up pizza. Forget that. That's minor league stuff. Let's go to the major leagues for Jesus, for what he did for us. And let's fast. Fast 1 or 2 days a week for Lent. And your life will totally, totally change. And tie yourself into the intention that you want to fast for. Fast for those nieces and nephews that have fallen away from the church. Fast for anyone that may be sick in your family. I guarantee you, Jesus will answer your call.
We're talking to Andy Lavallee. If you want to learn more, www.livethefast.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Andy Lavallee, who's just written a book, From the Hub to the Heart. Many of our listeners tonight must be thinking, this man's got to be a minister, a priest, a rabbi. This man is not a small business owner. Otherwise, his business has got to be going down the drain. Can you run a business today following the Jewish carpenter's principles and still be successful, Andy?
Jack, it's a must. It's an absolute must, because without people in business, you can go nowhere. So when you look at the carpenter and you look at his doctrine and what he did, as how he built from 12 to billions of people today that are in the church, he used core principles. One, respect and dignity of all people. Two, make decisions for the common good. Three, go to the frontline people and go ahead and just ask them for what the suggestions may be for the problems you may have. When you do that and you bring it all together, you create a team of solidarity and common good. An example of that is, look at the apostles. You know, they got an HR problem going on because they just lost one of their guys. Jesus has ascended to heaven, and they're 11 now, not 12. So what do? Does Peter walk into that room of 120 and say, hey, I'm Peter, Jesus made me in charge, and we're going to go ahead and this is what we're going to do? No, he goes into the room and he says, I'm Peter, let's go to the frontline people and give us some suggestions of who is in charge here. Who do you suggest that we can replace this 12th man in our rotation with? And they come back, and they come back with Matthias. But they did it through prayer. They did it through solidarity. it's very important in our businesses today to stop managing by spreadsheets and start looking at people. I can tell you, I just want to recommend one thing to anybody who's out there in business. Read the Holy Father's encyclical, Pope Benedict on Charity and Truth. It's the best business book ever written.
If there's a listener tonight that says, there's no hope for me, I've just lost my family, I'm addicted to gambling, drugs, pornography, Andy, there's no hope. What do you tell that listener?
First of all, there's always hope in Jesus. Always hope. I've been there. I've been there, and I've been there where I've disappointed those that I loved, and I hurt those that I loved drastically. But I can tell you that first it starts with, your conversion can start with confession. Go to Jesus and go to your knees and tell him your sins. And then when you finish that, start going to receive the Holy Eucharist, the bread of life. He will energize you. He will choose. He will give you the path, the right roads to choose, so you don't go down the wrong roads. And then fast, and fast for him to stay in your life and rid yourself of all the things that have been, that are keeping you from going down this correct path. And it could be anything, Jack. It could be gambling. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. But I can guarantee you, if you take that recipe and you do that, you're going to start on your way back. And you will be in Jesus' eyes, and he will bless you and have mercy for you.
One of the five stones that the Blessed Virgin has been telling those six people in Medjugorje is daily Bible reading. If someone's never read the Bible and they say, Andy, where do I start?
Well, you know, I always jump around, you know, so I'm probably not a good one to recommend where to start. But, I mean, start at the beginning. Start it and understand the number one and most important thing is that God created us in his image and likeness. So he created us for himself, for us to do what he's asking us to do. It's kind of like, you know, the story my friend told me about, you know, going out with the coloring books and, you know, just... You know, what happens when a young child colors, he gives the coloring page back to the person that gave him the crayons. So God has given us so many crayons in our life to do certain things, and it's up to us to learn those through Scripture. There are many valuable lessons in Scripture. I would start, my favorite place to start would be in the Acts of the Apostles. I would learn from the apostles, from the men that built the church, and that's where I would start.
If a listener says, wow, this man has truly surrendered to God and he's at peace. I've met people like that, but I can't surrender to God. I'm always telling God what I want him to do in my life because I know better. Okay, it's too risky to surrender. What do you say?
You know, I say I've been there. I've been there and done that. I was not willing to surrender. I was not willing to give it all in, to give it all over. But I honestly believe the spirits are so much closer than we can ever imagine. As we have this conversation, the spirits are trying to intercede, good and bad. I think that you just need to surrender. It's kind of like that old Nike commercial, you know, just do it. Because if you just do it, you will then see the fruits that God has planned for you. The worst thing you ever want to see happen is for you to go to eternity and God say, I planned all this for you, but you weren't listening. Why weren't you listening? You know, listen, surrender to him. It's the best way to go. You can do it through adoration. Spend time with him in adoration and just sit there in silence and ask him, where do you want me to go, God? What do you want me to do? And he will point you in the right direction. Get away from your computer screen. Go spend time with Jesus in adoration.
A lot of people are worried today, Andy. They see what's going on, the direction, how we're getting away from this Judeo-Christian values that built this country. Is there hope? What's the solution?
The solution comes right from the cross. You know, our Lord is being crucified by those that think they know better than him. And there's a man to the left and a man to the right. And one man mocks Jesus, and the other man says, Lord, take me into your kingdom. And what does our Lord say to all those that are crucifying him? He gives forgiveness. Our families today are holding grudges for centuries. They're holding grudges against each other. Forgive, forgive, and love. The virtue of forgiveness is so powerful. It's powerful in business. Don't hold your employees to a high esteem of results. Forgive them and love them. The same with your family. The world can be better with a high level of virtue and forgiveness. And just do as Jesus did, as he forgave everyone that persecuted him. We can do the same. We're strong enough if we live the life that he's asking us to live.
Some people are hearing this and they say, wow, this man's got courage. I believe what he's saying, but my kids don't want to hear it. I'm afraid to tell it to my friends or people at work. I'll lose my job. I'll lose my kids. What do you say?
I say all those people that are afraid or that you're afraid of because you're not willing to tell them, that you consecrate those people to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You spend time in prayer. You consecrate each and every one of those souls, those children of yours, those nieces and nephews, those fellow employees, that boss, whomever you may be, and you consecrate them to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you watch what happens. You watch the love that comes from those people, those skeptics that doubted, the same people that doubted Jesus that will doubt you. When they doubt you, you understand one thing. You are on the right path. You are on the path that God wants you to be on because you're being doubted, just like he was being doubted.
Andy, as our time winds down together tonight, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Almighty Father, I'm so thankful for this time. I'm so thankful for your sacrifices you made during this Lenten season for us. All of the passion that you were just brutally beaten, brutally crucified. I ask that during this Lent that you bless all of the listeners, that you bless Jack and his family, that you bless all of us, and so that we may be open to the practice of fasting and prayer and almsgiving, those three virtues that Lent. We ask this in your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we also ask the Holy Father that he stays with Andy, his family, and that he gives Andy, continues to give Andy the courage to keep telling his heart. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jack. God bless you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.